Track 4. 30 years ago, a chain of secret nuclear bunkers around Britain, including more than 50 in Norfolk, were quietly closed for good. Sebastian Oak looks at the history of these hidden outposts.
Across the county, and indeed all over the UK, there are forgotten corners of fields where odd-looking concrete and metal objects rise discreetly from the ground. If you gave them a second glance, and you probably would not, you might think that they marked the site of a water storage tank, or were perhaps something to do with gas, electricity, or telephones. But these places never had anything to do with providing modern utilities. Indeed, they were there to monitor their destruction. Underneath the unusual surface features lie underground bunkers, originally set up to measure the impact of a nuclear weapon strike on our county. They are not in use now, and their original function might seem rather unreal today. But the bunkers, or monitoring posts, were once part of detailed preparations for nuclear war. This year marks 30 years since that war was judged unlikely to happen, and remaining monitoring posts were shut down. Across the UK, around 1,500 posts were constructed, largely in the early 1960s, for the UK Warning and Monitoring Organisation. More than 50 were built here in Norfolk. They were staffed by volunteers, members of the Royal Observer Corps. In a time of war, they would have had an intensely sobering job to do, measuring the force of a nuclear burst, the direction of its centre, and the amount of radioactive fallout afterwards. Norfolk ROC monitoring posts would then have usually sent this information via a direct phone link to group headquarters at Norwich, and from there it would have gone on to sector command at Lincoln, where it would have been used to draw up a picture of damage to help government and local authorities decide how best to organise civilian life. The posts were not manned continuously, but in periods of international tension, teams of three would be stationed at each one, waiting for the attack warning speaker on the wall to spit out the news everybody dreaded. And if it had done, the personnel would likely have needed to stay underground for a considerable time. Taras Young, author of the book Nuclear War in the UK, says, "The government took the threat of nuclear attack very seriously during the Cold War. The network of ROC posts would have been extremely useful in pinpointing which areas had been hit. The information they would have gathered would have meant the number of survivors could have been calculated and assistance sent to the right areas." Few people not involved with this process would have known anything about it. ROC members signed the Official Secrets Act and could not talk openly about their work. They were part of a clandestine world that might have been unsettling, even frightening, to those outside it. The origins of the ROC go back to 1925. During the Second World War, the Corps performed a vital role in identifying and tracking enemy aircraft. In the mid-1950s, with Cold War tensions rising, it took on the additional task of monitoring the impact of possible nuclear attack. Posts were rebuilt underground, well protected to resist bomb blasts. By the mid-1960s, radar technology had improved to the extent that the ROC was largely no longer needed for aircraft monitoring, and posts focused entirely on the nuclear threat. This continued until 1991, when posts were shut down and the ROC volunteers largely laid off. Since then, monitoring posts have passed back into the hands of private landowners. Some have been demolished or filled in, while a few have actually been preserved by enthusiasts. One at West Beckham in Norfolk was sold at auction last autumn, but most have just been left to pass quietly into history. They are, as you might expect, generally impregnable and inaccessible. But if you could lift the heavy lid on an entrance shaft, you would find beneath evidence of a dark and horrifying undercurrent to what were, after all, frighteningly recent times. In the bunkers, a vertical shaft led down 20 feet into a small subterranean room encased in reinforced concrete. In it, Furniture was limited to a table, chairs, two or three bunk beds, and a cupboard with provisions. A separate area housed a chemical toilet. Electricity came from a heavy-duty battery, periodically charged by a portable petrol-driven generator. Drinking water was stored in jerry cans. Food was in the form of service ration packs. Each monitoring post had three main pieces of equipment. The bomb power indicator registered the pressure wave from a nuclear blast passing over an instrument on the surface, while the ground zero indicator photographed the fireball of an explosion and recorded its direction. The radiation meter recorded subsequent fallout levels. It would have been cramped, chilly, and damp in a bunker, although there was a pump should standing water have accumulated. Taras Young says, "The bunkers were manned by extremely dedicated people who felt they were working for a greater good, even being prepared to leave their families during a crisis to serve their country." One of them was Margaret Bainton. She joined the ROC in 1976 and was stationed at Aylsham Monitoring Post. "I'd heard about the ROC from a leaflet in a Sunday paper, and I was ex-Women's Royal Air Force, so it appealed to me. I knew the ROC had an underground post at Aylsham, but initially I had no idea of the nature of the role I would be given. I soon found that my duties would be recording devastation. I suppose I didn't fully take in the significance at the time. I just thought of it as a safeguarding exercise rather than something that might end up being for real. During exercises, we would be down in the bunker for 24 hours. We got cold, but had set jobs to do at set times and kept our spirits up. We all got on very well and enjoyed it. When the posts were stud down, I missed what we had. I myself then moved on to the nuclear reporting cell at RAF Nitishead, but for most other volunteers, it was the end of the line. Nostalgia for camaraderie will always remain, but nostalgia for the threat of nuclear war most certainly will not. It all seems a world away from today, but many monitoring posts in Norfolk keep their place in the landscape. The way they were built means that they are likely to be there, albeit hidden, for a long time to come. Chilling reminders of a war that never came.